Hello and welcome to South Asia Chat. I'm your host, Nitya Subramanian, editor at the Institute of South Asian Studies at the National University of Singapore. The proposed deal between China and Iran on economic and security cooperation will have a serious impact on India's strategic interest in the Middle East, especially with regard to the Chabahar port. To learn more, we speak to Sumita Narayanan Kutty, Associate Research Fellow with the South Asia Program at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies, Nanyang Technology University, Singapore. Her research focuses on India's foreign and security policies across the Indo-Pacific region with special interest in the Middle East. Welcome, Sumita, and thank you for joining us at South Asia Chat. I'd like to start by asking you what, according to you, paved the way or acted as a catalyst for the China-Iran partnership that involves billions of dollars of investment in various sectors, including energy, telecom, and infrastructure. This, of course, comes at a time when China and India are engaged in border conflicts at Eastern Ladakh.
Thank you for having me on South Asia Talk, Nitya. So first, I thought I'd set, you know, the context on this Iran-China partnership agreement that's making the news. Because following the Iranian nuclear deal, the JCPOA, both these countries get talking around 2016 about formalizing their engagement. And, you know, it's taken 4 years when we now see reports of this new deal involving, you know, great amounts of money, $400 billion in investments, essentially leaked in the Iranian media and press, which has forced the Iranian government to react. But we've not heard anything of, you know, no official confirmation in Beijing as yet. So there are a couple of things to think about here and now. First, a strategic partnership agreement is, you know, which a lot of countries are increasingly using in their engagements, is a framework, a flexible one, to pick and choose from ideas, you know, a to-do list on ideas that you want to work on. And sometimes you may not even end up working on those in a couple of years. So it gives us wide-ranging flexibility here for China and Iran to work on these ideas, many of which are not new, including some which are in the news, like the military security component involving a port called Just. So economic data so far shows that China has invested less than $30 billion in Iran from 2005 to 2019. Now, to go from this amount all the way to $400 billion, or even a triple-digit, you know, billion amount, while Iran faces, the Iran economy is severely sanctioned with the U.S. sanctions, you have low oil prices, among other things, I think are important factors to consider how realistic these terms are. Now, China's investments in Iran, in fact, have been on a downward trajectory. Like India, it has also worked to cut down oil imports. It has not tried to antagonize the U.S. with regard to Iran. It has not used Iran as a bargaining chip yet to antagonize the U.S., especially while it was negotiating a trade deal. Another development, I think, to keep in mind, given China's engagement, is that it has really deepened its interactions across the Gulf with the Arab Gulf states, where it finds, you know, a stable environment for economic growth and investments, and, you know, also strategic expertise that will benefit its Belt and Road Initiative and, you know, its agenda with regard to that. For instance, you know, Dubai's experience in logistics and shipping is something, and, you know, these are some things that Iran does not really offer China. So is China willing to also signal that it will do a lot more with Iran at this point, you know, given these close relationships with the Gulf is another thing that I think we need to consider. Going back to also, as I mentioned, how China has not used Iran as a bargaining chip with the U.S., it also exited a major natural gas deal from Iran that it all negotiated with Iran, the South Pars gas deal, which, you know, while it was negotiating the trade agreement. So this to me is interesting in that it has not, that it is willing to go along with some things with the international system when it comes to Iran. So I think what's important here now is why the announcement now, right? Iran has felt that unlike most states in the neighborhood or even the world, it has not benefited from Chinese investment yet. It wants to do business with China. I think that's something all states are doing today. So at this point, this agreement is certainly something that Iran wants more than China. Iran has also been bitterly disappointed with how the JCPOA turned out. Particularly, it really wanted the European investors on board, and that didn't work out. And now it can use this deal with China to essentially say that, hey, I don't need the West. I still have not just an important economic player, but a major power that is increasingly in tension with the West. China is doing business with us. Also, it does not really hurt Chinese interests either, as US-China competition is escalating in the Middle East. So for both sides, at this point, it signals things that they are comfortable.
So then how do you think this partnership will impact India? Because India had interest in Chabahar port, and now Iran has said that it would start construction of the Chabahar-Zahedan railway line. So how will all this play out vis-a-vis India?
India is essentially not new to China's presence in Iran, because China's presence is most visible there. So, the Indian government or the Indian diplomats or businesses there are very used to seeing China's presence in Iran. The Iranians have, and this is quite important, have always stated that they want India on board. For, between 2014 and 2016, when nuclear deals being negotiated, and Iran, Afghanistan, India are already talking on the sidelines about Chabahar. Iran is already signaling that they really want India on board, specifically because they do not want yet another deal going to the Chinese. So they were very interested and are still very interested in diversifying, JCPOA functioning or not. And I think this is a very important point. So in a sense, Iran is now with limited choices of partners to do business with, and India still remains important in that pool of partners. Now, just looking at the port project itself. Now, elements that have been agreed between India and Iran remain mostly on track, albeit in a very minimalist and in terms that are realistic as can be given sanctions. And I think India's approach has been maximum outcome within this very constrained environment. It's going towards a stated end, not necessarily on what it on the vision it had agreed with Iran in the beginning in 2016. So we have the port, which is operational, with an Iranian firm on board, since India could not get an Indian private player on board. I think that for India was the biggest setback it faced around 2017 to 18, when it couldn't convince its own domestic constituencies to sign up for this port. Which is why when you come to the railway link and the fact that Iran's gone ahead and laid a few tracks, despite India still talking about it, negotiating in a sense with IRCON, that's the Indian firm, still doing, submitting its reports on the feasibility study, et cetera, and Iran going ahead and doing this, I think is much less of a setback as far as the Indians view this compared to what it had to be with the port. In a sense that there was no real money, there's no sunken cost yet. Yes, a couple of studies, a couple of trips to view the landscape, et cetera, but nothing more than that. So another element here, which often appears in the Indian media also, with stories, is that doing business with Iran and the India-Iran pattern of doing business has been complicated. And that's an essential truth, I think. And it's had to do with both sides doing, employing various tactics of negotiation and statements, et cetera, to get the other to do something faster, quicker, up the money, et cetera. So this has been a complicated relationship. And so going back to the point that India, as far as the railway line is concerned, can still join, right? I mean, we have statements from both sides now officially saying that India can come on board when it wants. And it's not ruled out. It has not been dropped completely from the project. Another point, which I think is like a big picture point, is that Chabahar was always a strategic investment for India and less a commercial venture. So, which is why I think I emphasize this, money loss kind of conversation, because it's not viewed in those profit loss sort of terms. It's a strategic investment. Now, on future work in this relationship, India has clearly made its choices when it comes to Iran, and it's these choices have been made over the last decade. It's not just, you know, this round of sanctions, etc. Energy now is no longer the key pillar. You've dropped imports to zero. You wanted to signal to the Trump administration that you're on board, and you've got the you've got to preserve the port in a certain sense and keep working on Chabahar, right? So connectivity then is the future. Linking Chabahar to regional transit architecture, which includes, you know, the International North-South Transport Corridor or the Ashgabat Agreement, bringing on board countries, you know, from Russia, the Central Asian states, and Oman, and encouraging regional ownership of Chabahar, of this port, to boost trade volumes, because you need more goods and services passing through this port. So to build that regional ownership is something that the Modi government in the last 2 years has been expending a lot of diplomatic capital on.
So do you think that India will still retain some hold on the Chabahar port, and that, you know, China would not infringe there, and, you know, going forward with China's interest in Gwadar, and then supposing it takes on some control of Chabahar as well, would it pose a maritime challenge to India and the US?
On China getting involved into the Chabahar project, essentially there are three components. I mean, if you really want to break it down, there are three components that India and Iran have either signed MOU on or a contract on and are supposed to work. So we have the port that's operational at this point, which is linked to the trilateral Iran, Afghanistan, India framework as well. So you're trying to build and through the roadways now, which is where this rail link is the new component, which is supposed to be built. And then you have this port being integrated into the free trade zone, because Chabahar is a free trade zone. And in this free trade zone, the Chinese are already there. I mean, in fact, 4 years ago, even the Koreans were interested, the Japanese were interested. So this area is where many countries can get involved. So China is already there. China has, in the region around Chabahar, early on proposed a huge petrochemical plant. It was called the Nagar Mokran petrochemical plant, which there seem to be serious talks going on, but it seems to have not been realized as well. So I think China, going back to, you know, the earlier conversation on China's investments in Iran, China has also been going a bit slow about it, thinking about it, etc. So again, how deeply will China get involved in related or surrounding projects is something we still have to see. It can always still come on board because it's there, it has the money, you can come in. You know, I would also not rule out how, you know, that Pakistan could join. I mean, this is a regional venture. It's also very important to understand that Iran is not Pakistan, that the China-Iran relationship is not the China-Pakistan relationship, and Gwadar is nothing like Chabahar. And in fact, I would extend it to say that it will be nothing like JASC if JASC becomes, as it's touted to become, like a Chinese staging out point, right? Yes. Because Iran is very sensitive regarding sovereignty and territory. It is extremely, there's a huge, it's not just an international point it plays out, but it's a huge domestic point, and it gives legitimacy to the regime when it talks about, you know, foreign interference, no reliance on foreign powers, and independence, you know, conducting its own independent foreign policy and economic strategies. So Iran is a very different, has a very different dynamic with even China. So I do not see Chabahar, even in the initial stages when India was talking, there was talk about we should get this naval and military security angle going. I think the Modi government was quite aware of, I think, the reality of the relationship, right? Because Indian governments have dealt so much with Iran. And that is purely why Chabahar, even if the Chinese come in, or even if the Chinese go into JASC, it's going to be more of an economic understanding and less of a security. Of course, this could change, but traditionally Iran has remained sensitive to you know, having foreign powers work on its territory.
Okay. India's relationship with Iran has been usually impacted by the twists and turns in the ties between Washington and Tehran over the last two decades. Can India really meet Iranian expectations of defying U.S. sanctions? And do you think the situation would change if Biden wins the elections and returns to the nuclear deal with Iran?
So two things here. First, given India and Iran and the US, this triangle has made news, and we've seen movements and choices since at least, you know, 2003 onwards. All sides clearly understand where each other stands at this point. So Iran certainly knows that India will not defy US sanctions. India made this choice a decade ago, plus, you know, over a decade ago. And because it prioritizes the US strategic relationship far, far more, given the strategic benefits are so much more significant and serious, increasingly more so for India, you know, today. But India, at the same time, you know, with this pragmatic policy, has also managed to negotiate with the Trump administration to preserve its interests in Chabahar, right? So its investments in Chabahar remain alive. It's not, you know, didn't go just dead in the water when the sanctions kicked in. So it's moving, it's, you know, it's building, it's slow, but it's there. And yes, not in the amounts or the volumes it planned or even the trajectory it ever thought it would go when the JCPOA was signed. Now, coming to a change in the U.S. administration, you know, the one important factor that I would like to flag is that, yes, you know, on the American side, it depended on a presidential authorization, which Trump then withdrew. But what was also clear at the time and why the, you know, Trump's exit went through so quickly in Congress is the fact that in the Democrat camp itself, there wasn't a very tight consensus on this deal. So, A, we need to see what, you know, what does the Biden team have specifics on the Iran deal, what its vision is. And two, we need to see is you know, how does Congress react to it? Do they have a domestic constituency strong enough to get this deal through? I do also think on the Iranian side, it will be harder to get them on board a second time. If that works out, we'll have to see. But I think on the American front, there is enough, I think, domestic challenges ahead for pushing this through on just on domestic constituencies that would want to see the same JCPOA come up. Because without the ballistic missiles program and other things like the sunset clause, even European partners like France flagged these after the JCPOA started unraveling. So there is a lot more to talk about now. So we'll have to see whether there's actually a turn to the existing nuclear deal or another form of it.
So what's the future for India? I mean, do you think how the deal would go? I mean, what is the future for India? You know, should India need to repair its relations with Iran, given the possibility that the deal with China may face some domestic hurdles? So how do you think India should play its cards, if I may ask you?
So looking ahead first, India should continue to demonstrate it intends to see the Chabahar project reach its, you know, stated end. Despite the controversies and issues that crop up. And, you know, so far this seems to be the case. I mean, earlier this week, the Iranians and the Indian ambassador had a review meeting, and his statements, the ambassador's statements post that meeting signal exactly that. In fact, he goes as much to say he really makes, you know, sells India's case to the domestic Iranian audience quite well. He states, you know, the U.S. cannot dictate India's interests. We are working on the port and in keeping with that, I think additionally, because there's this trilateral transit agreement with Afghanistan and how, given even the Afghan situation, that its economic stability and future is crucial to India as well and the neighborhood. I think working, there are ongoing consultations, but working to smoothen, you know, the transportation of goods from Chabahar into Afghanistan, the roadways, the, you know, customs, tariffs, agreements, like all of that, fixing that and making it smoother for all these trucks to pass back and forth would definitely be a very... important movement on the ground to develop, I think, goodwill for India as well. Now, second, you know, some other sectors that have been alive so far is, you know, rice, you know, trade, like rice, tea, etc. Building on those existing, trying to figure out if you can improve that in some sense. But also, I think a third channel that India can increasingly support, it does a little, is, you know, the humanitarian channel, like medicines. You know, earlier because of sanctions, even, you know, cancer drugs get, it's hard to find that. You know, Iranians don't have access to that. And it's not directly what the U.S. is sanctioning, but of course, secondary sanctions always affect many other sectors. And it's humanitarian assistance, I think, is one channel that India can continue or maybe step up its game a bit. Because the EU has also just operationalized its channel. So this is something India could try doing, especially also in a coronavirus situation, right? Additionally, you know, the weakest link and why we do have issues in the India-Iran relationship is that people-to-people ties is really weak. You know, unlike the Gulf states, where you have 8 million Indians, you have 4,000 Indians in Iran. And just conversations between the two communities have to increase. I mean, this has nothing to do with the government. It's just about increasing people-to-people connections. And whether it's in educational exchanges, you know, science and tech collaborations between universities. I mean, there's a lot that can be done there, linguistic ties, you know, Persian, etc. There's just so much more that can still be done there. This is not a very strategic segment of it, but I do think in the long term, this would really benefit the relationship as well.
Thank you, Sumita, for joining us at South Asia Chat. It was a pleasure speaking to you today. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
You have been listening to South Asia Chat. To learn more about our work, visit us at www.isas.nus.edu.sg.